2 hours down, 1 hour to go here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290 online, tsn1290.ca. The last show of 2013, boys. Ezra Ginsberg and Dave Manuk are in the house. Producer Tim, Jesse the intern. I'm Matt Leibel, your guest host for today on Twitter at Illegal Curve, the website illegalcurve.com. We've been doing mid-season report cards for the Winnipeg Jets today. They hit the 40-game mark last night with their 6-4 home win over the Minnesota Wild. So far, we've done the forwards and the defense. Ezra on Twitter, at ICEzzyG. Ezra gave the forwards a B, and he gave the defense a C. Dave Manuk on Twitter, at IC Dave. That's it?
I see Dave.
Okay.
Keep it simple.
just making sure. Dave gave the forwards a C, the defense a C plus. We all agreed that the combinations, the pairings, the line combos, everything has kind of changed, been a little more solid over the last month versus the first 2 months. Injury's a big part of that. And we're expecting lots of room for improvement in the second half, and we are expecting and hoping for it. I think that was also a big important point to take away from those midseason report cards. We've got some more report cards to give away or give out here, gentlemen. Goalies, coaches, and special teams. Let's start with the netminders. Last night, no better time to talk about this. Andrei Pavlik gave up 3 goals on 6 shots, got yanked early in the first period, threw a temper tantrum as he left the ice and went down the tunnel, did not return to the bench for the entire first period, did eventually later on in the game, is not getting the start tomorrow night in Colorado. Al Montoya is. So we've got to talk about Pavlik, and we've got to talk about Montoya. Ezra, you want to lead it off for us here?
I would love to. And I think that right now the Jets are in a position that isn't necessarily a bad position. I think when Andrei Pavlik struggles and the Jets have the option of going to Al Montoya, Dave, I think that they almost seem like that's a last resort. And again, in this day and age, I don't think it's a bad thing to have 2 goalies that split the time. It's not bad to have 3 goalie options, 4 goalie options. You know, talking to Jonas Siegel of TSN 1050 about half an hour ago, talking about the Leafs, they still don't know who their number one goalie is in between Jonathan Bernier and James Reimer because they ride the hot goalie. And I think that's something that Claude Noel really doesn't like to do. I really don't think that he likes to play Al Montoya when it isn't almost the second game of a back-to-back situation. And you look at, you know, 40 games into the season, and how many starts has Montoya got now? 8? I think 8 starts. He's played in 11 games, and Andrei Pavlik's played in 32 games. And, you know, anybody can look at the numbers right now and say, okay, well, Montoya's win-loss record is better, and his goals against is better, 2.14 versus 3.03, and his save percentage is .923 versus .902. And you can say, okay, well, Montoya's been better, and Pavlik hasn't been good. The Jets haven't played well defensively in front of Pavlik on many occasions. Last night was another example. The Edmonton game was another example. You can't just pin everything on the goalie. The goals against, the save percentage, you have to take that with the amount of shots, the quality of shots. So if I'm looking at the 2 goaltenders, and we've only had 2 here this year because Eddie Pasquale hasn't been called up because there haven't been any injuries, but I think I'm going to have to give each guy a grade and then give maybe an overall grade, because if I'm giving a grade to Andrei Pavlik, I'm going to give him a B. And I think that Andrei Pavlik, on many occasions, has kept the Jets in games, and he's made fantastic saves. I think he's struggled this year with the mental side of the game, and I think we've seen him explode more this year when he's pulled from games, and he's probably been pulled more. I don't have the stat in front of me, but I think he's been pulled more this year than he has in the first 2 years since the Jets came over from Atlanta. But I still don't think that Andrei Pavlik, you know, gets a low grade, and I think, you know, people are talking about trading Pavlik. I mean, Pavlik is still the number one goaltender. Al Montoya is still the backup goaltender, so I'll give him a B, and I'll give Al Montoya a B+. I think, you know, you've got a guy who's, when he's played, he's been excellent, and he's got a shutout this year, really high save percentage. Dave, .923 save percentage is really good. Montoya's not a flashy guy, but the Jets seem to always play confidently in front of him. So, you know, overall, I'll give the goalies a grade of B, because I think, again, the goalie's a reflection of the type of defense that you play. And again, you know, is Andrei Pavlik, does he have the ability to steal games like Tuukka Rask has, or Josh Harding has this year, or in previous years a guy like Lundqvist. Maybe not. But I also think that, you know, Pavlik's had a lot of rookie defensemen in front of him. And I'm not just talking about Trouba. I'm talking whether it's Melchiori. And, you know, I think that that is a reflection of the entire team defense. So Pavlik gets a B. Montoya gets a B+. I'll give the overall goaltending for the Jets a B.
As he is handing out grades like he is a tenured professor at the University of Manitoba and has no consideration of ever being fired. Let's put it that way. He's being very generous today in his grade distribution.
You wouldn't give the goaltenders a B?
I would give Al Montoya a B.
Okay, that makes sense.
I think Al Montoya has come in every situation he's been asked to appear, and I think he's handled them admirably. I think he's, it's very interesting. A lot of times people in the media will ask the goalies, and I don't know how they expect a different response than the one they're given, but they ask the goalies, well, do you think the players, they'll ask the goalies, do you think the players play differently in front of you? Well, of course, no player is actually going to say that, but sometimes the results actually prove that. And you see that there is a certain level of confidence with Al Montoya when he plays the puck. First of all, he's a much better puck handler than Andre Pavlik.
It's not even close.
I mean, like I said, we talked about it earlier. I asked him yesterday during the postgame scrum. I said, did you intend to make that pass to Enstrom? And he said, oh, totally. I mean, you can hear it on our site on LegalCurve.com. We have it in the Jets postgame audio. And so, you know, he's a character guy, very funny guy. You know, would he have the stamina to last a full season playing a number one, being a number one goaltender? Because the truth is this. He's not old by any stretch of the imagination. He's not 100 years old. So he's not sitting there saying, I'm happy being a backup. Of course, he has to say he is happy to be a backup because you don't want to look like a guy who's not a team guy. But at the end of the day, you know, I think Al Montoya deserves more faith in his game than Coach Noel has perhaps shown him. He might have really no choice but to show that faith in him moving forward. Now, I'm not saying that Al Montoya deserves every start and Pavlik needs to be the backup. But there's nothing wrong with someone holding your feet to the fire and saying, well, guess what? I'm going to play well. And if I play well, that success is going to be rewarded with more playing time. So Al Montoya, in my mind, deserves a B because I think that's the way he's played. I mean, his record shows that. Andre Pavlik, when last season ended, and then speaking about it this season at the beginning, said he vowed to be in better shape, to be more prepared this season, whether it's mentally or physically, and he was going to be in Montreal earlier. And he really had all these kind of plans in which to really kind of be a new Andre Pavlik. Now, having said that, I 100% agree with Ezzie. This defense sometimes leaves him out to dry where he makes 19 saves in the first period, and he's the only reason they're in games. So I'm not going to give Andre Pavlik a D because, let's be realistic, it's not all on him. But at the same time, Andre Pavlik, you know, sometimes he's not the most technically sound goalie. He puts himself out of position. He gives big rebounds. So
he wants to be Dominik Hasek.
Perhaps that's his idol. I mean,
he plays like Dominik Hasek.
It's definitely not a orthodox style, and that was always the knock against Hasek, Dave. And Montoya plays more of a steady butterfly style. But at a certain point, guys, you got to say, what more does Montoya have to do? I mean, the guy stops 22 of 23 shots last night, picks up the win. He's got 6 wins this year. His numbers are good. At what point do you stop saying, oh, well, he's just an average backup? I mean, the proof.
Backing up a below average starter?
Yeah.
I mean, like, isn't that to your point, Dave? Absolutely. Isn't that what you're kind of saying?
He deserves more starts. I don't know how you argue that Montoya hasn't done an admirable job and doesn't deserve more starts. All the guy's done is play well this year, and he doesn't play a lot. So I think, you know, you got to start looking at, okay, well, again, how about this question for you guys?
Are you asking the questions? What would Drew Mandel do if you tried to ask him a question during the show?
I'm asking the questions now. If Montoya wins in Colorado, how do you not go back to him against Buffalo? You need wins right now. The Jets are desperate for wins. If they don't put together a 6 or 7 game winning streak, you know, over the next couple weeks, the playoffs are going to be an afterthought. So riding the hot goaltender, you got to do that in this day and age.
Ezzie, that leads into a question about coaching, doesn't it? Because off the top of your description and breakdown of the goalie situation, you mentioned Claude Noel has demonstrated in the past an unwillingness to evolve into a platoon situation, even though it has become clear that Pavlik, his play suffers when he plays too much. So let's lead with your question into report cards at the midseason mark here for the Jets for the coaches, which specifically falls on head coach Claude Noel.
Right, and you know Charlie Huddy and Perry Pern are part of that coaching staff, but I agree with you. And Pascal Vincent, obviously.
The buck stops at Claude Noel. Yeah, that's right.
And you know, there have been major issues with this team this year, and we've talked about it a lot on the show that the Jets haven't got up for a lot of games against inferior competition, Dave, whether it's the Florida Panthers, whether it's the Buffalo Sabres or the Edmonton Oilers, all teams that the Jets have lost to. And I think consistency is one thing, but the way a team plays and the way a team loses is also a reflection of the structure. I think the major problem with the Winnipeg Jets this year is the structure and the lack thereof. I think we've seen many times the Jets try to tighten up a game and play a defensive style against a team like the St. Louis Blues or Minnesota Wild. Other times they try to play a more fluid transition game depending on who they're playing against. And I think that this is the type of team that needs to pick a structure now and figure out what is best for them, because they're not, you know, blessed with high-end talent like a Chicago Blackhawks or a Pittsburgh Penguins. They can't always just run and gun with teams. You try to run and gun with the Chicago Blackhawks, you're going to lose every time. And they have lost every time to the Chicago Blackhawks. They've really found out that this year, you know, they have a lot of work to do to compete with the Chicago Blackhawks and the St. Louis Blues, the upper echelon team. So I think Claude Noel has struggled at times to really get his message across and really get that structure that he wants, that tight defensive style that also leads to offense on occasion. But so, I mean, you know, as far as the overall job that he's done, I think he's managed to keep the Jets, you know, hovering around kind of the playoff line here. It's not completely over yet. I know some people are looking at the numbers and they're saying it's impossible for the Jets to make the playoffs. It's only 40 games into the season. We still have to wait, I would say, at least two, three weeks before we completely write off the season. There's a lot of hockey to be played. But, you know, as far as the job Claude Noel has done, I'm going to give him a C, because I think on too many nights the Jets have not shown up. They haven't been intense. They've struggled adapting to, you know, a different type of game. I think he's done a good job with the rookies. He's managed Jacob Trouba well, and he's really shown confidence in Scheifele. His game's starting to come around. But I think the inconsistency for me, that's a reflection of the coach. So I'm going to give him a C on the year. Sorry, the mid-year.
If I was giving Coach Noel a grade based on his interviews, I would give him an A+, because without question, there is nobody better to interview than Coach Claude Noel. He's funny. He's candid sometimes. He's just very good with the media, and he knows how to interact with them. And he really generally does. You don't see him lose his temper when he's asking. I mean, occasionally he does, but I mean, overall he's fairly adept at having conversations with the media, which is a good thing. But in terms of his actual grade for the performance on the ice, now it's interesting to me. Ed stole my last point, which was going to be the rookies. I think he's done a really nice job with bringing along Mark Scheifele and Jacob Trouba, sheltered them early, given them more responsibility as the season has progressed and as they've developed further as players. Claude Noel deserves a lot of credit for that, because he could have just thrown them in. He could have just said, you know what, I need a second line center. I'm going to put Mark Scheifele there and, you know, perhaps stunted Mark Scheifele's growth. And we saw early on, when Scheifele was stalling, people were saying, put him in the AHL, why is he here, da-da-da-da-da. And now you kind of see, okay, Noel's brought him along slowly, and now he's really developed into that 2C potentially. I mean, we're not saying, it's not a given, but he's shown it upon the last, you know, 15 games that he really deserves that spot. So he's done a nice job with Scheifele. He's done a nice job with Trouba. And now it's not just them. Obviously, he's got assistant coaches who are helping. You know, Charlie Huddy is a big part of Trouba's development. Having said that, you look at sometimes implementation of his game, and he talks about his structure. And sometimes he doesn't engage in what that means. What exactly is your structure, Claude? And sometimes people ask, and he's not doesn't really develop upon it very much, and you kind of left scratching your head going, what exactly does he mean by that? It's a word, that's great, but what does he mean? What is a structure? What is your structure? What are the Jets trying to do? And unfortunately, sometimes we're left wondering, because you see a game like the Vancouver Canucks game, they lost 2-1, but you know what? They played a nice game. They played a Western Conference-style game, tight. You know, the Vancouver Canucks are not an upper echelon team anymore, really. They're kind of that mid-tier team.
But they're still a decent team.
They're still a decent team, yeah. And let's be realistic.
They're probably
better than the Jets.
Well, that to me is the ultimate irony. When people talk about the Jets lose to lower echelon teams, I mean, what do they think the Jets are? The Jets aren't exactly an upper tier team yet.
Right.
So like I don't like when people are dismissive of the Panthers and the Sabres and these other teams. And I'm thinking to myself, the Jets haven't done anything. We can't yet be patting ourselves on the back saying this is a team that deserves respect. Oh, because they can play well with upper echelon teams. You have to be able to play well with everybody, not just with the upper echelon teams, because you've mimicked your game after theirs a little bit. And we saw the fallback in terms of what the structure was of this team, because from the now, sure, it was a back-to-back, but we go from a tight game against the Canucks to a loosey-goosey game against the Oilers that was completely out of its mind. And so you really wonder, what exactly is the structure of this team? So if I had to give Coach Claude Noel a grade, I'm probably going to give him a C. That would be my midterm grade report right now, because I think that maybe a C plus. I'm kind of between a C plus and a C. I'd flip a coin probably in that regard, because at this point the team has done all right. You know, they're near the 500 mark. You know, with the shootouts and all that stuff. But like, can he be doing more, or is he doing enough with what he has right now?
Right.
I think you guys both touched on it though with Claude Noel. I always feel like it's a very interesting situation, because you can evaluate him on the day to day on what we actually see on the ice, but with this franchise, as you mentioned, Dave, they are a lower echelon team, and big picture becomes very important. And his best marks are in the development of the rookies, Jacob Trouba and Mark Scheifele, which is the most of the big picture aspects in which he's involved in. So in that aspect of his coaching, he's getting his best grades. And I think that that's a very interesting thing with Noel, right? He isn't signed long term. He's the only piece of this Jets puzzle that hasn't been committed to long term. So he kind of has no security with his job with which to work, and I think that works. There's no doubt in my mind he's probably the lowest paid coach in the NHL. You wonder, does he lose the room? We have that incident with Andrew Ladd in Philadelphia. I don't think he has, but the one thing you can't argue with the development of Trouba, the development of Scheifele, he gets credit for that, and that's been very positive.
Yep.
And big picture is very important here. Okay, guys, before we break, penalty kill and power play.
Yep.
Is there any way we can give the power play anything other than an F?
Well,
I know they've gotten better,
I think the only
how do you not give them an F?
Early on in the season, the Jets' power play was atrocious, and we had to talk about it on this show. You're on the big show every morning. Every show on the station had to talk about it.
There was nothing left to say.
We had to ask Claude Noel. There really wasn't. I mean, they couldn't score.
It was
just unbelievable. So I'm not going to give them an F, because I think that lately they've started to turn it around, and Pascal Vincent deserves credit for that. The players deserve credit for that. They finally started to turn around. I believe they're 23rd in the NHL, if I'm not mistaken. So they've gotten up there. You'd like to see them in the top half of the league, but they're at 23rd. They're respectable. I'm going to give them a D, but I think that you're starting to see a little bit. Olli Jokinen's done a nice job. I think Trouba on the second power play unit has helped. He was injured for a little bit. I think I still like to see Evander Kane more involved in the power play. Penalty kill, I think, is 13th in the league. That's not talked about enough. The Jets actually have a pretty good penalty kill, and I think guys like James Wright, Mark Stewart, guys like this deserve credit. You know, Andrew Ladd, Little, they play on the penalty
Evander
kill.
Kane.
Kane plays on the penalty kill. 13th in the league, guys. That's not bad. If I'm not mistaken, it's 13th.
14th,
so I'm close, off by one. So I think, you know, they deserve credit for that. So special teams overall, I'll give the power play a D. I'll give the penalty kill a B. I'll give the special teams overall a C.
Dave, quick grades?
I will mimic you as his grades. He's right, because the truth is the PK has been very – they've picked it up. They're mid-part into the league. So
you can almost give the penalty kill a B-plus, guys. I mean, a guy like James Wright, I know, again, I'm going to say this. I'll go on the record, and I know people say, oh, you know, the guy doesn't have any goals. Why is he playing this much? James Wright is a very good hockey player, good skater, really good two-way forward, very excellent on the penalty kill. He's got high hockey IQ. That's why Noel puts him out there, and he's been excellent. So I think you could even give the penalty kill a B-plus.
Well, we saw the penalty kill result in a shorthanded goal for Evander Kane yesterday on a nice play by Michael Frolik. So, I mean, there's clear that they get it. The penalty kill has improved throughout the season. They're 14th right now. So I would give the penalty kill a B. The power play was atrocious, obviously. They were 30th. They've moved up to, I believe, 24th right now. So they've definitely improved. They're like a C or a D or plus, maybe.
There you
go.
Even
give a D plus.
Mid-season report cards from Ezra Ginsberg and Dave Minuk of Illegal Curve Hockey. If you missed any of them, they did forwards and defense earlier in the show. That's all going to be on the podcast, which you can download from illegalcurve.com or stream live. We'll have that uploaded later on this afternoon. We're going until 4 o'clock. When we come back, more mid-season chatter. We're doing NHL awards at the midseason mark, and we might even get Jesse the intern in here to get his thoughts. He's been scribbling stuff down. Taking you out to the break. What is this, producer Tim? Blue Jay Way by the Beatles? Is that this? It's Name the Tune on a Legal Curve Hockey Show, TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca. This segment of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show is brought to you by the Chill Bar and Grill, located right at Confusion Corner, 423 McMillan. Craft beer, great food, delicious cocktails, and enough HDTVs to guarantee that you won't miss a minute of action. The Chill Bar and Grill, Illegal Curve's away game headquarters, online at chillbar.ca. Ezra Ginsberg and Dave Minuk are in today from the Illegal Curve crew. Richie Pollock and Drew Mandel away on vacation. I'm Matt Leibel, your guest host today. We're going live until 4 o'clock. And we're going to get our intern, Jesse the intern, in here as we hand out our mid-season NHL awards. Okay, guys, I'm going to give you the award. You can wax poetic if you like about your choices. Let's not get too carried away here because we got a few awards to get through. I've got the Hart, Vezina, Calder, Jack Adams, Selke, and Norris. So I got six awards to hand out here, fellas. Let's not take all day. After all, it's only been 40 games. I'm going to save the Hart for last. I'm going to save our MVP for last. By the way, quick update on NHL news and notes. Alexander Steen of the St. Louis Blues out indefinitely with a concussion or concussion-like symptoms. I guess there's a difference. And big blow to the Bruins decor. Dennis Seidenberg out for the rest of the season, tore his ACL and MCL. Okay, back to the awards, midseason awards. Let's start with the Vezina, top goalie. Dave Minuk, who's your top goalie? Midseason.
I'm going with Harding.
Josh Harding.
He's been phenomenal. He's been the reason why the Wild were where they were. And his, you know, save percentage is excellent. His goals against average has been excellent. So I'm going with Harding.
Ezra Ginsberg. Vezina Trophy midseason.
I think Harding is a great pick. I'm going to go with Tuukka Rask. He just picked up his fourth shutout last night. 20-8, 1.81 goals against average. Tuukka Rask sometimes isn't given enough credit for how good of a goaltender he is because of the defense, because he's got big Zdeno Chara in front of him, Seidenberg when he's healthy, even though Seidenberg's out for the year, Boychuk, McQuaid, Krug, Dougie Hamilton. He's got a great D in front of him. But Tuukka Rask is an excellent goaltender, athletic, flexible. He's not a big guy, but he always brings it. He's always solid. He rarely has a bad game. He's been doing it for the Bruins for the last 5 years. So for me, midway point, Rask gets the Vezina.
Jesse the intern, Vezina midseason?
I'm going to have to agree with Ezra. He's top four in four huge categories. GAA, he's fourth in the league. Save percent average, he's third. Wins, he's second. He's first in shutouts. Last year during the playoffs, we really saw Tuukka Rask start to develop as a phenomenal goalie. And if the Boston Bruins won the Stanley Cup last year, he for sure would have won the Conn Smythe. So you're right, Ezzy. Sometimes people don't recognize how good he actually is because of his defense, but he definitely deserves some credit, and I think he's going to win the Vezina.
So my vote is for Al Montoya. Calder Trophy. Come on, right?
I like it. Yeah.
Calder Trophy. Yeah. We'll start with you, Ez. This is for the top rookie. I think we all like to think in this city that if Jacob Trouba hadn't missed 5 weeks with injury, he'd be right up there. Tough to make an argument outside of Winnipeg for Trouba, though. We'll see what the second half holds. Unless you're gonna flip the script, Ezzy, and give it to Troubs.
Nope, I'm not going to flip the script, but Trouba and Scheifele have both been excellent.
Yep.
My Calder Trophy winner is, and I know his play has tailed off a little bit, but I'm going to give it to Sean Monahan. And he's had some injuries here. He's only played in 31 games out of 40. But to me, a guy like him coming into a situation where the Calgary Flames, guys, don't have a lot of offensive talent, and you're being asked, guys like Lee Stempniak, Matt Stajan are being asked to be first-line players along with the Mike Camilleris and the Yuri Hudlers, but Sean Monahan, 10 goals, 16 points in 31 games, he's just been absolutely excellent, sixth overall pick in 2013, and I know that he has struggled lately, and his goal totals have slowed down a little bit, but I think this guy is an excellent two-way player, and for me, first half, I'll give him the Calder Trophy. There's a lot of guys that you could give the Calder Trophy to.
We asked
right
you
now.
For one, though.
Okay, I'll stick with Monahan.
Jesse the intern, who's your Calder Trophy midway through the NHL season?
I'm going to pick Valeri Nichushkin.
Ooh.
So far, Thomas Hertl has been playing fantastic. He's 15 goals. He leads all rookies in that department. Right now, he's been so hot lately, and by the end of the year, I really when he played at the MTS Center, I could hardly believe what I was seeing. I saw a player who, in a couple years, I think has potential to be at least a top 10 forward in the league. He's got all the skills to do it. He's got size. He's got the skill. He's a fantastic skater. Right now, he has 7 goals and 12 assists, and he's surrounded by great talent. He's playing on a line with Sagan and Jamie Benn, and by the end of the year, I think statistically he'll lead all rookies, and I think he's going to take the award.
I think that's a great pick, Jesse, because you know you mentioned that you think he has top 10 potential. He's already playing on the top line. You mentioned the line he's playing on. It's really unbelievable, and what I was telling Jesse, too, off air, is that Nikushkin would have gone higher if there wasn't the threat of him potentially playing in Russia. So Nikushkin really at the pick that Dallas got him at is really good. So I think that's a great Calder pick by Jesse.
Dave Minuk, who is your Calder pick midway through the season?
I'm going to go with the easy one. I'm going to go with Hurdle. He's been phenomenal. I mean, I've watched him play a number of games for San Jose, and he's been excellent. I mean, he really shows. I mean, his interview skills aren't the best because his English.
He's a 19-year-old Czech.
No,
I
realize
expecting
that.
From
what I was going to say is because after he scored that after he had that phenomenal four-goal game against the Rangers, they do an interview in San Jose on the ice.
Yeah.
And so they actually did an interview with him, and it was just like, it was the most awkward thing ever.
I do remember that.
But,
it was very awkward.
His talent, I mean, he's injured right now, but his talent is phenomenal. And if he can come back and if he isn't out that long, really show that he can maintain that consistency, then he might run away with it. Now, dark horse for Winnipeg Jets fans, Mark Scheifele, he's come up in terms of points. So, I mean, and a lot of times this could be determined by that stat. So we'll see what ends up happening with Mark Scheifele if he can maintain the pace with Evander Kane and Michael Frolik.
Okay, we're handing out mid-season NHL awards here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Ezra Ginsberg, Dave Minuk, and Jesse the Intern. Let's move to the defense, gentlemen, the Norris Trophy. Dave, let's start with you. Who's your leading candidate for the Norris?
I'm going with Brent Seabrook.
Interesting.
Now, His numbers are good. He's a he's tops in points for defense. I think he's fifth right now or maybe eighth. So he's not a high points guy. He's not an Erik Karlsson. But you know the thing he does, he's just steady. He's just steady. He's not the flashiest, but he doesn't really make mistakes. If you actually watch his game, he's just so consistent. Him and Duncan Keith are just unbelievable pairing in Chicago. I mean, it's they're the best pairing in my mind in the NHL. So, but Seabrook isn't necessarily as highly touted as everybody else. So I like Seabrook for the Norris.
Ez, let's turn to you.
Right team, wrong player. Duncan Keith is the Norris Trophy winner. He's a
speaks to Dave's point, though, about them being such a strong combination.
I'm just giving Dave a hard time. Seabrook doesn't have the offensive numbers that Keith has, but 36 points in 40 games. He's fourth in the entire league in assists. Duncan Keith, if you've seen the Chicago Blackhawks play this year, is in control of that game like no other defenseman. I think that, Keith has already won a Norris, by the way, and, the way he's playing is reminiscent of that year for me. Keith can do everything. He's a great skater. He's physical. He can go out in the power play. He can go out in the penalty kill. He can eat up minutes on that top pair with Seabrook. I do agree with Dave, and I did pick him as my top pair, defensive pair in the NHL. And Duncan Keith, not only that, he'll be a huge part of Team Canada at the Olympics. Top pair, I imagine. And, the guy's to boot, he's from Winnipeg. And I think that, in control of the game, vision, and I think overall, he's the all-around best defenseman in the league. So I'll give him my midway Norris.
The only edge Ezzy would have, to my point, is that Seabrook doesn't play the minutes that Keith does. Keith plays about 25, 26 minutes a game. Seabrook only plays about 21 minutes.
Interesting point. Norris Trophy candidate, Jesse the Intern.
I agree with Ez.
I like it. You know what? Good positive minds, whatever it's called. Smart minds think alike.
Great minds, Ezzy.
Well, great minds, whatever it is.
You're my cousin, so I guess that kind of explains it. I agree, though. Duncan Keith has been fantastic this year. 36 points is amazing. He's averaging actually 24 minutes and 18 seconds of ice time a game. Some people might argue that a guy like Erik Karlsson could win the award, although Ottawa hasn't been doing as well as Chicago, obviously. But still, he's leading all defensemen in points. But the main difference between the two players is Erik Karlsson has a minus 10 rating, and Duncan Keith is just a plus player. I believe he's plus 14, around there.
Plus 16.
Plus 16, +16. And he's a huge reason why the Chicago Blackhawks have had so much success this year. And when you're looking at a top two defenseman on your team, you want a guy who's going to be able to have such a good plus-minus. So that's a big reason why I'd give it to Keith.
No love for Ryan Suter? I mean, the guy plays
for me,
full games.
Ryan Suter's the runner-up.
He plays full games.
Yeah, and Ryan Suter doesn't have a goal this year either. And that to me doesn't matter, 23, 24 assists or whatever. But, Ryan Suter, when he – we talked about this last week. When you're on the ice for half of the game, every game, there's a reason for that. And Ryan Suter is an excellent and the thing with Ryan Suter too is, if you ask forwards who they hate playing against, I don't think Erik Karlsson's name comes up because I think he's more of a flashy offensive guy. Hmm. As far as who's difficult to go up against, the names are going to be Keith, and it's going to be Shea Weber, and it's going to be Chara and Suter. Those four guys, because it's just really hard to get around these guys. They're big guys, physical guys, great skaters. So I think Suter absolutely is in the conversation.
Moving along, the Pavel Datsyuk Trophy, also known as the Frank Selke Trophy. Do you want to lead us off?
I'll start it off, and this is an easy answer. It's the guy who won it last year, Jonathan Taves.
Right. It could also be known as the Jonathan Taves Trophy.
He's only won it once now, but Datsyuk is a guy that's won it, I believe, three times. But to me, it's Taves, and just the way he plays in all three zones is incredible. We've seen him a couple times here at the MTS Center. Jonathan Taves has such a good defensive awareness, so I got to give it to him. My runner-up is going to be, I hope I'm not stealing anybody's answer, but my runner-up is actually going to be Frans Nielsen.
Ooh.
Ooh, I don't think you stole anybody's answer.
I didn't come up with the runner-up. I just said, okay, here's my guy. And
Dave, your guy?
There really isn't anything more to add to what Ed said. It's Johnny Taves in my mind. Yep. He's just been excellent in every zone.
Jesse, the intern, likes to agree with Ez. Is he going to agree with Ez and Dave here?
I'm actually going to have to go with James Wright, guys.
I like it.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Oh, weak sauce.
No. James Wright is fantastic, but it's Jonathan Taves.
Yeah, there you go.
He's been having a great year.
I think that's a pretty
Captain Canada
unanimous one there. We'll get to the Hart Trophy in just a second. I want to talk about the coaches. Coach is often so linked to the team.
Yep.
It happens all the time. I mean, look at Paul McLean. Last year he's the Jack Adams winner, and this year the Senators. I think he would get a vote. Who do we have? As you want to start us off again, who's your Jack Adams Trophy candidate midway through the season?
There's a lot of coaches that you could give it to, but I have to give it to Bruce Boudreau. The Ducks have won 9 games in a row. I had serious concerns about the Ducks' defense this year, especially with Sheldon Souris getting injured. I know Sheldon Souris a couple of years ago was playing in the AHL, but he actually fit in really nicely there. And the Ducks have had a lot of injuries on defense there, and a guy like Ben Lovejoy has been really good on defense. But for me, the way Corey Perry and Ryan Getzlaf have returned to their form, Bruce Boudreau loves to play those guys a lot, and he's put Dustin Penner on that line, and it's really worked. I think, the Ducks haven't lost a game in regulation at home this year, guys.
It's a shocking
statistic. We're halfway through the season here, and they've not lost a game at home. So I think Bruce Boudreau has that team going really nicely, second place in the Western Conference. So for me, it's got to be Brucey Boudreau.
That's a good pick. I'm going to go to the East, and I'm going to say John Cooper. I think what he's managed to do with the Tampa Bay Lightning is unbelievable. I mean, the fact of the matter is they're in third place right now in the East. Sure, the East isn't as good as the West, but the fact of the matter is he lost Steven Stamkos, and he kept that team rolling. They've won their last 5 games in a row. They're 7-1-2 in their last 10. And the guy's just managed to keep his team. And again, see, his advantage, of course, was he was the AHL coach. And so he knew that team from the farm club to the parent club. So really that was an advantage to him. But he's really made an impact on that roster and maintained them while they've lost their most important player.
So when it comes to the Jack Adams, Dave is hanging with Mr. Cooper. Jesse, the intern, who do you have as your Jack Adams winner?
You need to start asking me before Ezra.
It's Boudreau.
We're going. I'm going to give you the first crack at the heart. You're going with Boudreau. That's a great point. Like he said, great stats at home and just the winning streak.
Yeah, and if you look at the Anaheim Ducks too, they're really not as good of a team as some of the other teams in the Western Conference in terms of the roster and the skill that they have. I mean, obviously they've got guys like Ryan Getzlaf and Corey Perry, but if you look deeper, Boudreau has just developed a lot of guys that we're not as he just developed some players into great hockey players this year. It's just impressive.
Interesting, no love from you guys for Patrick Roy. Is that just because you don't want to anoint a guy first season? I mean, this is a team that finished. A lot of people thought they were going to be last in the West. Possibly.
I think Patrick. If we're doing finalists, I honestly think we've hit on all of them. I think you got to put Boudreau in there. You got to put Cooper in there. Cooper, the fact that he's kept the Lightning at the top of the Eastern Conference with no Stamkos is incredible, as Dave mentioned.
But it is the East.
I think you're right, though, Matty. I think Roy has to be in the conversation. When you go from the last place team to a team that's now holding on to the 7th place spot in the Western Conference, absolutely, he's done a lot of good things. And he's got a defense playing really well, a defense that, aside from Eric Johnson, it's really just a kind of a lunch pail group, really, if you want to call it that. And so I think he deserves a lot of credit. They've been good offensively and defensively. Varlamov, guys, traded for a first-round pick from the Washington Capitals. Sorry, from the Washington Capitals for a first-round pick was awful last year. Varlamov has been great. You have to think that if you're Varlamov and or Varlamov, I'm switching the way I'm pronouncing it, but you have to think that if you've got Patrick Waugh behind the bench, arguably a top three goalie of all time, maybe the best goalie of all time, I think it's Marty Brodeur, but I think that if you want to like talk about the impact of a guy like that on the bench on a goaltender, and I think Jaguar, again, French-Canadian goalie, has been good as a backup, I think absolutely Waugh's in the conversation. He deserves at least a nomination, if not the award, for one of the best coaches in the league.
And for the Hart Trophy, Jesse the intern, you get first crack. Is it Sidney Crosby or somebody else?
It's for sure Sidney Crosby.
Is there agreement on the other side of the room?
Right across the board, it's Crosby.
Sidney Crosby somehow gets better every year. And this year, he's adding almost another element to his game. It's called playing like an unbelievable superhuman being.
Okay,
and I think that he's more... I think he actually... Not that other players don't, but I think Crosby, more so than maybe anybody, is more excited that the Olympics are this year, and he wants to elevate his game again. This guy, on a nightly basis, seems to score goals from different locations, backhand, wrist shot, behind the net, passing guys, the vision. He has the best vision since Gretzky. Let's just put it out there.
Okay, if the Crosby is a slam dunk, would you guys agree with me that the other two finalists I'd have in there, Alexander Steen and Patrick Kane?
I like Kane in there.
Kane's putting up a lot of points this year.
I wouldn't argue with either of those guys. Alexander Steen, 22, 23 goals. He's injured now, but I think you got to give him absolutely a nomination there. He's been excellent for St. Louis. And Patrick Kane is averaging over a point a game. It's hard to argue against that. And
Any other names that you want to throw out there just as a finalist just quickly before we hit break? Jesse?
The closest is Kane, but, I mean, still Crosby is incredible. And I think if Crosby also stays healthy for the next 8 years, he's going to continue to win the award. But
yep.
Kane is the only other person I could think of.
Yeah, another two guys
we were
talking about were Getzlaff and Perry.
Yeah,
they almost split it, right? But
I
mean, those two guys too. I mean, you can't argue with the way they've played. They've really been excellent every night. So it's been a very good year for. I think it's going to be really Crosby taking the Art Ross Trophy, but I don't think it's going to be a runaway lead. I think you've got Ovechkin sniffing around there.
Yeah, interesting that Ovechkin gets no nods, huh?
Well, he won it last year, but the only problem
is he won it last year
despite being awful in the first half of the season.
I know.
So
it was a weird year. You know what? It has been a good year, Ezra. When we come back, we'll talk about our best memories of the calendar year 2013. That's more to come still on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca. I see on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca, this segment brought to you by Dr. Les Rikus and the Linda Market Dental Center. Whether an elite athlete or a weekend warrior wearing a proper fitting, custom-made mouth guard designed for you by Dr. Les Rikus and the Linda Market Dental Center is an essential part of your protective equipment. Give yourself peace of mind protection as well as facial, teeth, and mouth protection. Contact Linden Market Dental Center, 204-487-2226. Online, lindenmarketdentalcenter.com. Guys, we're going to roll down this list quickly. As we were giving you a 15-second limit on
before
your explanations. Yeah, that's right, before we get that giant cane out here to pull you out. Best of 2013.
Evander's cane?
Wah, wah. Don't overuse it too quickly. Best story of the year, Ez.
I know people are going to, you know, give me a hard time on Twitter. And again, you want this quickly. Okay, Phoenix Coyotes finally resolving their ownership problems. They've got
I thought there was a memorandum on this show about mentioning that.
They finally have the ownership resolved. Okay. We know they're going to stay there for at least 5 years. That's my best story because I want to see solid.
Is it just hockey stories we're doing, by the way?
We're just
doing hockey stories. Okay.
The Legal Curve Hockey Show. It's not the Illegal Curve Sporting Hour.
Which.
All
you
right.
Said that with a bite.
Yes.
Oh, there was no bite, Maddie.
Listen, what happens when you give him a time limit.
I love you. Nobody loves me more than you do, except maybe your parents and your first cousins.
And his fiance.
And your fiance.
Dave.
Shout out to Heather.
Dave. Oh, thank you, Dave. 2013. Best moment.
Josh Harding overcoming MS to be the number one goalie for the Minnesota Wild.
That is a strong story.
I think
it's just
remarkable. I mean, if anybody knows anybody who has MS, it's a horribly debilitating disease. And the fact that he's playing at an NHL level while dealing with that is just remarkable.
From the best to the worst, as your worst story, worst hockey story of 2013.
Worst story of the year, Ilya Kovalchuk retiring from the NHL, completely screwing the New Jersey Devils. They're already losing a draft pick because they paid him $100 million a year over 10 years. Ilya Kovalchuk, I mean, and that's the last time I'm ever going to mention him on the show because he's now in the KHL. We don't really talk a lot about the KHL. But Ilya Kovalchuk completely doing, you know, an absolutely terrible disservice to the New Jersey Devils, who haven't really recovered. Sure, they're sticking around in the playoff race there, but Kovalchuk leaving is for sure, to me, the most...
The worst story.
The worst story of the year.
Dave Minuk, worst story of the year.
This would be the racist tweets about Gurdeep Ahluwalia and Nabil Karim, the TSN sports anchors, when they first lined up together to do the Sports Center. The tweets that came out, social media, people don't think when they tweet, and they just tweet and they think that there's no impact about what they're writing. It's amazing to me. Like, people think that there's no consequence to their actions.
Yep.
So they just tweet whatever they're thinking. And it's like, oh, okay, sure. I'm going to tweet something extremely racist and extremely offensive to a lot of people because I think I'm funny. Like, it's like, no, you're not that funny, and you're offending people, and it's really not worth it. So maybe think before you tweet. Sometimes we're in such a rush to get out our tweets because we think we've got something unique to say, even though most likely everybody else is saying it anyways, that we don't think about it. And so we just tweet it, and we don't think there's any consequences. There are people need to think a little bit more when they're tweeting.
How about biggest surprise of the year, Ezra?
For me, it's the Flyers firing Peter Laviolette 3 games into the season. Hmm. I know the Philly Flyers right now are just clinging on to that 8th spot in the Eastern Conference, but I absolutely did not expect that. I think that this team has some holes, guys. But when you go out and you acquire Mark Streit and Vinny LeCavalier, there's a lot of teams that wanted him. And I think when you go out and acquire those guys, you're not acquiring those guys, you know, as a long-term solution there. Those are short-term guys because you think that your team needs a couple pieces, and let's not forget that they missed the playoffs last year. So this is a team that desperately needs to get into the playoffs, and to me that was surprising. I really like Laviolette as a coach, and I didn't see that coming.
Dave, do you have a biggest surprise of 2013 for the hockey fans?
I would be the start of the season, the shortened season, with the Chicago Blackhawks getting points in 24 straight games. I think that was quite remarkable. They went 21-0-3, and obviously they won the Stanley Cup, so there was a reason why they were so dominant to start the season.
I have one. I'll just throw the Detroit Red Wings in their playoff run was a huge surprise. I don't think anyone saw them beating Anaheim, let alone pushing Chicago like they did to 7 games. Biggest disappointment of the year, Ezra.
It's got to be the Toronto Maple Leafs blowing a 4-1 lead in Game 7.
Yes.
Losing in overtime to the Boston Bruins. They hadn't made the playoffs for 9 years. To me, that was beyond disappointing. And, you know, I hope that the Leafs get back into the playoffs this year because I think it's always good when Canadian teams are in the playoffs. I really do. But that has to be the biggest disappointment.
Dave?
I think Jets fans will agree. It was probably those 2 back-to-back home losses to the Washington Capitals. The Jets were 9 points ahead of Washington at that point when they came in. Had the potential to really put their foot on the throat of the Capitals, knock them out of the Southeast Division race go up 13 points or even, you know, keep it at even, relatively even. And instead, they ended up 5 points up, so that was probably the most disappointing moment.
Guys, we're going to end it there. Thank you for your best of 2013. When we come back, one segment to do with the rapid fire and cheers. I've been looking forward to it all day. Last segment still to come, the Legal Curve Hockey Show, TSN 1290 and tsn1290.ca. One thing I know is that it's the last segment of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Matt Leibel in as your guest host. It's been a pleasure alongside Ezra Ginsberg and Dave Minuk. Last segment, guys, you know what that means. We started off with a little rapid fire.
Rapid fire.
Okay, Ezra, I'm going to put the first one to you. Pittsburgh Penguins forward Pascal Dupuis will have ACL surgery in the next few weeks and may be out for the remainder of the season. Who is the best candidate to replace Dupuis' offense on the top line with Sidney Crosby and Chris Kunitz?
It's a tough question. But I'm going to say right now they've got Joe Vitale practicing on that line, and the other option would, of course, be James Neal. But I think with Evgeny Malkin out, you really need his offense there on the second line. It's a problem right now. But I'm going to say the best option to replace Dupuis long-term is probably going to be either Vitale or Chuck Kobusu. But that's a problem for me because Dupuis is a fast guy. He's got a good shot. And those other two guys, again, are lacking offensively. Vitaly's only got 1 goal this year. So for me, Vitaly now, but I think long-term, I think you see Ray Shiro make a move.
Ah, the old trade, the old not A or B, but C.
Yep.
Dave, earlier this week, the NHL confirmed Ottawa will get an outdoor game, likely in 2017, adding to the growing list of cities who have been promised outdoor games, including Winnipeg in 2016. Should the NHL consider having an outdoor game outside of North America?
Similar to what the NFL has done, going to London, it'll be interesting to see if the NHL tries this. The only places I could really see something like this being successful is Sweden, Finland, possibly. So, I mean, maybe. I don't like the idea. I think there's too many cities in North America that you could do this in. I mean, you know, the big house in Ann Arbor is going to be rocking this week. So I just don't think that it's a great idea to move outside of North America. But if you do, then probably the best bet is to go. Like, as better than going to, like, Mexico to play a game is to go somewhere like Finland, Sweden, where they're huge diehard hockey fans.
I would love a game in Mexico City. The altitude and the heat would probably just be a nightmare for those guys.
I've been to Mexico City. It's not a great place.
No, not for outdoor hockey, at least. I put the final rapid-fire question to both of you. On Monday, one of the most bizarre goals of all time was scored when Coyotes goalie Mike Smith got the puck stuck in his pants and then backed up into his own net to score on himself. Ez, you first. What is your wackiest goal of all time?
2003, New Jersey Devils. A puck comes in not hard at all to Marty Brodeur. He drops his stick. The puck goes off of his stick into the net. For me, that was the most bizarre goal of all time, if you remember that. YouTube at Marty Brodeur 2003 finals, Stanley Cup finals against the Ducks.
Dave?
It's going to be the Olympics. It's got to be the goal Salo gave up. That from
yeah,
like,
that's a good one.
Center. I mean, it was just the most bizarre goal of all time. I mean, I just remember thinking everyone was thinking like they're not going to be beat, and then Salo just gives up that goal, and it was just
Belarus,
like,
right?
Yeah, that's yep. right. It was against Belarus, yeah, and it was just like heartbreaking for obviously the Swedes, but it was just like bizarre because nobody anticipated that happening.
Jets fans remember when Dustin Byfuglien scored from center against Washington. That was a wacky goal, I think, in the first season. And then
Marc-Andre Fleury shooting the puck against his own defenseman in the World Juniors.
That's right. Earlier this year, Ryan McDonagh scored from like the circle in front of his own net. Jonathan Quick, weird goal there. Okay, fellas, we're coming up to the end here. Just a couple minutes left. You know what that means. Cheers and cheers.
Cheers. Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy.
And cheers.
No, not good enough.
He's a bad boy.
I never seen something stick like this.
Surprisingly not good.
All right, we're handing them out. Ezra Ginsberg goes first. Are you cheering or are you jeering?
I always cheer. 44 years old, Sergei Fedorov playing in the Spengler Cup for CSKA Moscow. Unbelievable. He's the GM of that team. Just unbelievable to see a guy come back. I think it's just a unique thing. Sergei Fedorov is an absolute legend. It was excellent for the Detroit Red Wings and other teams, but mainly the Red Wings. So it's just great to see Fedorov still having fun out there playing in a really awesome tournament that I look forward to every year.
I jeered last week, so I'm switching it over to a cheer this week. And I'm going to cheer all the people behind the scenes, people like Timmy Debenham and Colin Jensen, the guys who do all the hard work.
Don't
get heard from a lot. They do, you know, they've done a lot to get this show and a lot of other shows on TSN, stations across the world, or the universe, as Drew would say, to air every week. And I don't think they get a lot of credit, and they deserve it because they do a really good job. So my cheer goes out to Timmy and guys like Timmy.
Atta boy, Timmy.
You know what? I'm going to jump in there. I'm going to jeer the weather. The weather today is absolutely frightful. What is all this blowing snow?
Are
and
we in Antarctica? Like, what's going
this
on
is
here?
Terrible, and we hope that you're driving safe and you've been careful. The Trans-Canada is closed going east and west out of the city, so just take it easy. Oh, and I jeer winter driving, especially on a day like today. You don't need to go 60. Slow it down.
Also, big cheer to Jesse the intern, with us for the last 3 weeks, and Maddie Leibel for hosting, coming in, filling in for Drew, which isn't hard because Drew does a mediocre job most of the time.
Awful.
So, Maddie,
that's a terrible
thanks for
thing
coming
to
in.
Say.
It was good times, and you did a good job.
That was mean. I can't believe you took a shot. We did have a great Drew on the show today. One of our guests, Drew Spivak, ESPNDenver.com. Thanks to him. Thanks to our other guests, Jonas Siegel from TSN 1050 in Toronto, and Adam Kimmelman, the deputy managing editor of NHL.com. Dave Manouk and Ezra Ginsberg of the Illegal Curve crew. Thanks to you guys. Producer Tim Debenham, Jesse the intern. Thank you to both of you. Thank you to all of you for joining us this afternoon. We were starting late. We appreciate you hanging around through the World Juniors and catching the end of that game and then the start of the show. Miss anything? IllegalCurve.com for the podcast coming up later. I'm Matt Leibel. Pleasure to be your guest host for today. Hope to do it again soon. Remember, if it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.